Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one from your touch-tone phone, and when prompted, please record your first and last name. Once again, that's star one, and when prompted, please record your first and last name. To withdraw your question, you may press star two. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I'll now turn the call over to your host, Mr. Michael Cook. Thank you, and you may begin.
Hello, everyone. I am Michael Cook, Chief of the Census Bureau's Public Information Office. I'd like to welcome everyone listening in on the phones today. We will be providing an overview of the Geographic Area Series, which provides all of the local area data to be released for the 2012 Economic Census. We'll discuss specifics on the release schedule and how to access and use the statistics. These data will be released on a flow basis through the end of 2015. By state and economic sector. The first data were released back on January 27. Now, let's turn things over to Andrew Haight. We call him Andy. He's the program and planning data user outreach liaison in our economy-wide statistics division. Andy?
Great. Thank you, Michael. So, again, my name is Andy Haight. That long title that you just heard essentially means that I work with our data users to ensure that the content that we include in our data products and the tools that we provide that data in meet your needs. And if they don't, my job is sort of to come back to Census to talk with us about how we can do a better job. I do a lot of training with our data users on the economic data products that we have, and I wanted to walk through today the Geographic Area Series reports from the 2012 Economic Census. Before I get started, I just want to give everybody sort of an even level playing field in terms of what is the Economic Census and why you all should care. The Economic Census, as many of you probably already know, is our biggest undertaking when it comes to the economic side. It covers about 7 million employer businesses in the United States, and it reflects a substantial portion of all the businesses in the U.S. I say employer businesses because the 17 million non-employer businesses, these businesses with no paid employees, what we would typically think of as independent contractors or things along those lines, are actually covered by their own program at the Census Bureau, the Non-Employer Statistics Program. So when you're using the economic census data, you always have to sort of keep in the back of your mind that the businesses that are measured are those that have paid employees. While they only account for about a quarter of all businesses, these employer businesses account for about 97% of U.S. Economic activity in terms of GDP. So it's a substantial portion of these businesses that are covered. The economic census covers almost all kinds of businesses in the U.S. Because we have a separate census of governments and a separate census of agriculture conducted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, those two sectors of the U.S. economy are not covered by the economic census. Also, government-owned businesses in other sectors are also excluded, with one exception, and that is hospitals. We do include data for both business, both privately owned as well as government-owned hospitals in our data. We already talked about the concept of employers versus non-employers, but I also want to point out to everybody that the concept of profit versus non-profit or domestic versus foreign ownership also doesn't make any difference when it comes to the economic census. If the business is physically located here in the United States, it is in fact covered by the economic census. As Michael pointed out, the economic census is released essentially in four major waves. We started off with our release of the advance report in March of last year, and as its name implies, it included a very high-level snapshot of the U.S. economy in 2012, providing information at the national level by two- and three-digit NAICS. Now, you would think that that high-level information might not be quite as exciting as the more detailed data, but one thing we found in that report was that our first and fourth place sectors in the U.S. economy had essentially flip-flopped places between 2007 and 2012. Manufacturing used to be our largest employer, and healthcare was number four. In 2012, those two positions flip-flopped. Healthcare sector is now our largest employer. So even though it was a pretty high-level report, it still provided some interesting information. Immediately following the advance report, we then started in what we call our industry series reports. The industry series are also national level data, but this is where you start to get the much more detailed industry breakouts. You look at not only information for healthcare, but we actually break healthcare right down to doctor's offices, chiropractors, things along those lines. Very, very detailed industry breakouts. Industry series is currently just finishing up right now, but as Michael just pointed out, we kicked off the release of our geographic area series reports on January 27th with the release of the manufacturing sector. And that's going to be the lion's share of the discussion that I'm going to talk about today. Following the geographic area series, we then release something called the subject and summary series. And finally, we complete the release of the economic census data with our zip code statistics. I know I've had some users ask, why is it that we do zip codes last? Why don't we do them along with the other geographies? The simple fact of the matter is because zip codes provide such a detailed breakout, even finer in some respects than the place-level data we publish, we save them to last to make sure we have every business in the correct zip code. The economic census is bound by Title 13 of the U.S. Code, which basically makes the census mandatory, but it also protects the privacy of the businesses that respond to the economic census. Privacy concerns, especially when you start talking about local area data, often surface where we end up having to suppress information for a given industry for a small geography because there may only be a small number of businesses in that particular industry in that geography. The upside, though, of the privacy laws is that the quality of the data that you're going to get from the economic census for those local areas is the highest you're probably going to ever see. Because businesses know that their private data is protected, they are much more open to giving us those records. Which really kind of brings us to why should you all care about the economic census? Accuracy certainly is probably your number one reason. The 2012 economic census had an 84% response rate. We used administrative data to account for the remaining 16%. I think many of you would probably agree that when you look at response rates that high in comparison to other organizations that publish data that are thrilled with a 30% response rate, you can understand why the data would be so accurate. The economic census is also our most comprehensive and consistent product that we release. Because it has that great coverage of geography and industry, you're not going to get the comprehensive set of data from any other source. And because we know that many of you are looking at our data over time, trying to make comparisons of how the economy in my local community is changing over time, the consistency of our geographies and our industries over time, and giving you the tools to be able to deal with change in geography and change in industry is also sort of a hallmark of the economic census. Finally, the third reason why you really should care about it is the detail levels of data that are published, and we'll be getting to that in just a minute when it comes to the geographic area series. Industry are published at the 2 through 6-digit industry code level, our NAICS code levels, and we publish down to a very, very detailed level of geography, which again we'll be getting to in a moment. So let's talk a little bit about the geographic area series, give you an overview. As Michael already pointed out, we release the data from the geographic area series sector by state. What that means is that we release the data for a given economic census sector, for example, manufacturing, one state at a time. And when we release the data for that sector and for that state, we release all of the industries in that sector and all of the geographies in that state in one package. Some sectors, like manufacturing, are releasing all of their data for all states all at one time. On January 27th, manufacturing released the entire U.S. file, which covered every single geographic area. Other sectors, like retail trade, release their data over a longer period of time. In fact, retail will actually release their data over a 9-month time frame, starting next month and continuing through the end of the year. The release schedule itself that shows that flow of data by sector, by state, and by month is actually available on our business.census.gov website. Over on the right-hand side of the Economic Census site, there is a release schedule, and you can go in there and actually kind of see what the release order is for every sector. One thing I'll point out also, right at the top of that schedule, there is a link to our government, our gov delivery system that would allow you to actually sign up to be notified when the information that you're interested in is available, and I would encourage everybody to go ahead and do that. The states themselves in that flow are released in the same order from sector to sector, and I'd like to quickly go through that list of states. We released the data in 17 chunks, 17 different pieces, starting off with Colorado, Hawaii, Montana, Alaska, and Maine, then moving on to Arizona, Nebraska, and California. Then we hit the Pacific Northwest, Idaho, Oregon, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. Then we jump back over to the east coast of the U.S. and do Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and then Vermont. Mid-Atlantic comes next, Delaware, D.C., Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia. We move back to the middle portion of the country and do Kentucky, North Carolina, and Tennessee, then Illinois and Indiana. We next go to the southern states, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina, then Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Dakota, and finally we finish up with Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, New Mexico, Texas, and finally finish off with Florida in the U.S. Now, some of you, having heard that list of states in that sort of seemingly random order, may be wondering, why is it that we release the states in that order? The simple fact is, the simple reason is metro areas. Metropolitan areas that cross state boundaries give the Census Bureau sort of fits. Because when we release the data, for example, for the Washington, D.C. metro area that now crosses between D.C., Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, and now for the 2012 economic census, Pennsylvania, because the data is published for those five states, we actually have to release those five states as a package along with the D.C. metro area. Of course, if you think about metropolitan areas, often you see areas of the country that one state flows into the next. From Maine to Florida, every single state crosses into its neighbor. So we essentially have to break up the U.S. into pieces to allow us to publish this, publish the data. I know for many of you that sort of is a frustration of the data taking so long, but again, this is sort of a function of what happens in our country because we've become so metropolitan in our data. Let's talk a little bit about the levels of geography that are covered by our geographic area series. As the name implies, we publish data down to local area geography. State, county, all four flavors, if you will, of metropolitan areas, starting with combined statistical areas, metropolitan and micropolitan areas, and metropolitan divisions. We publish data for the seven consolidated cities that are included in the U.S., and we finally publish data for economic places. Now, some of you may not know what the term economic place is referring to. The Census Bureau recognizes cities, towns, villages, boroughs, et cetera, as places, and this would include both incorporated areas as well as unincorporated areas, or what the Census Bureau calls census-designated places. All of those types of places are consolidated together into what we call an economic place for the economic census. The key point, though, is we apply a population or jobs minimum to qualify an area to be included as part of the economic census. Historically, through the 2007 economic census, we used a 5,000 population or 5,000 jobs cutoff. So what that means is if a place had at least 5,000 people living there or 5,000 people working there, then it qualified to be included separately in the economic census. Businesses that are then located in areas that are smaller than 5,000 population were still published in the economic census, but they were lumped into something called the balance of county. So, for example, in Anne Arundel County, where I live, there's about a dozen geographies that qualify using that cutoff, and the rest of the area of the county is then published as one total. I've sort of taken it as my challenge for my career to get that cutoff reduced to zero. For this census, our senior leaders at the Census Bureau finally were convinced that reducing it to 2,500 would be valuable. So for this census, we are now publishing geography or place for businesses for areas that have at least 2,500 population or 2,500 jobs. What this has meant for us is we're going to be publishing data for about 5,400 new small cities and towns and villages and boroughs that we've never before published local area data for. The business.census.gov website that I mentioned earlier is a great place to go to check out information about those small areas that we are now recognizing for the first time. For many of these small communities, the Census Bureau may be the only source of information because we're the only area that actually has the resources to be able to do a complete economic census, including these very, very small geographies. Let's talk for a little bit about some of the major changes you're going to be seeing in the 2012 economic census. I've already talked about the first and sort of the most important one, and that is the reduction in that cutoff to qualify as an economic place. We also have six new counties that will be published in the 2012 economic census. They are all in Alaska, and so that's going to be reflected in our data. Third, we are publishing data using the new 2013 vintage of the metropolitan areas cast according to the 2010 population census. Those of you who are familiar with those metropolitan area changes will recognize that we've had a substantial change in the metropolitan areas that we actually publish. The contents of those metro areas have in very many cases changed, and we now have three more states that are now completely metropolitan that used to have at least one non-metro county in them. There are now new crossover metropolitan areas, for example, between New Mexico and Texas that did not exist prior. So you'll be seeing all of that new metropolitan area level data in the reports as well. Another major change for 2012 is historically the Census Bureau has applied publication cutoffs to the data that we publish in our tables. For example, if an industry in a small county didn't have at least 500 employees in that industry, then it didn't make the cut for the table, irregardless of whether or not the data was publishable or not. These pub cutoffs sort of date back to the days when we used to actually print our publications. No one would want to pay for a 5,000-page retail Texas publication or book, so we would apply these cutoffs to reduce the number of pages of the books. Obviously, now that we've shifted to an 100% electronic dissemination system, the need to reduce those pages has really been eliminated. So for this census, we are applying no cutoffs. We will actually be tabulating and publishing every single geography and every single industry that we collected in the economic census. Obviously, the privacy laws I talked about earlier will play a part in what we can publish. But even in cases where we have to suppress the data due to those privacy laws, we at least tell you how many businesses there are in that area and what the employment size range is. We give you an employment size range. Talk a little bit about where you all can go for more information. I already talked about the business.census.gov website. It's a great resource for you to go to not only get the information about the release schedule, but also the information about all of these geographic changes that I've talked about so far. There are reference maps available on BCG, as we like to call it, that show the changes in our metropolitan areas and our economic places. So you can go in, for example, and pull up the county, the map for LA County, and see the 30 new places that are now being recognized for the economic census that didn't exist before. It's a great resource for you to go. To close out, just want to tell you a little bit about what's coming next. We already talked about the subject and summary series reports that are coming after geographic area series. These provide national level data, and again, we'll finish off the economic census with our zip code data. A couple of other related programs I wanted to quickly mention. In addition to the economic census, we also conduct an economic census of island areas. Covers Puerto Rico, Guam, Northern Marianas, American Samoa, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The data for those reports are starting to come out soon. We also conduct a survey called the Survey of Business Owners that's affiliated with the Economic Census. SBO is a fabulous source of information on business ownership. And in this report, we publish information on the race, ethnicity, gender, and veteran status of the business owner. And finally, we also publish something called the Commodity Flow Survey, which is a survey that we do on behalf of the Department of Transportation that looks at the movement of commodities across the United States by mode and distance and other factors. In addition to those other related programs, of course, we have our Census of Governments, which is now complete in terms of releasing its data, and we have the wealth of monthly, quarterly, and annual surveys that supplement and really give you a comprehensive time series that you can get in addition to the economic census data. To finish up, I just wanted to quickly mention to everybody that even though we haven't completed releasing the data for the 2012 economic census, we've already begun planning for the 2017 economic census. So we'll begin to start working with data users to plan for what our data products and our tools are going to look like for the 2017 economic census. With that, I am done with my quick update. What I'd like to do, operator, is please open it up for questions. Actually, I think Michael's going to do that.
Thank you, Andy. At this point, we'll open up the discussion to questions. We ask you state your name and media affiliation when you ask a question, and we want to give everyone an opportunity to ask a question, so we'll allow one question and one follow-up question. Bear in mind that our staff can arrange for interviews after this conference call. You may obtain further information by calling the Public Information Office directly at 301-763-3030. Operator, do we have any questions on the line?
One moment for your first question. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your touchtone phone, and when prompted, please record your first and last name. One moment. The first question comes from Sharon Knipp. Your line is now open.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, good morning. You had said earlier on how to sign up to receive updates. Could you provide that information again?
Sure. So when you go to our business.census.gov website, in the upper right-hand corner, sort of along the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a panel that has four different views of our release schedule. Right above that panel, you'll see a link to our notification system. And if you go ahead and click on that link, that's where you can go in and sign up to receive those notifications. What you'll get is you'll get first, of course, a thank you email for signing up. And each month when we kick off the release of the geographic area series data for a new sector, you will get an email saying the data is available. And included in that email will be a link directly into American Fact Finder where you can get right to that particular data.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Sharon,
yeah.
What affiliate are you with?
I'm with the State of Nevada Department of Administration Grants Office.
Great. Thank you.
There are no further questions from the audio participants at this time.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to note for those that are interested, Andy talked about signing up for notifications related to these releases. For anyone that's on the call, if you are interested in receiving alerts pushed to you via email, if you navigate to census.gov and on that page enter into the newsroom, you can actually sign up for notifications on all Census Bureau news. So you won't only get those notifications on the economic releases, but you'll get them for all of our news releases as they come out on a daily basis. And I'll just check one more time, caller, to see if anybody has readied themselves in the queue for any questions.
One moment, please, for your next question. The next question comes from Robbie Ward. Your line is now open.
Okay.
Hi, Rob.
Hello. I'm Robbie Ward. I'm with the Greenville News in South Carolina. I just caught the tail end of the conference call. I had somewhere to be. But I was wondering, will this be recorded for availability at a later point.
Yes. What we're going to do is, like all of our news conferences, we archive them and put up an electronic press kit in the newsroom. And so that was going to be one of my parting mentions. But, yes, we will put this up on our website so you can review this at your leisure.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Carrie Mason Draffin. Your line is now open.
Yeah, I want to ask whether or not any of this data was drilled down to the county level.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about the local area data that's available, we, of course, publish data at the state level, but we also publish by county, by metropolitan area, and even by place, by individual cities, towns, villages, boroughs, townships, and the like. We publish data for both incorporated places, Annapolis, Maryland, for example, where I live, as well as for what the Census Bureau calls census-designated places, which are typically unincorporated areas. So, yeah, we've got quite a wealth of data. I had also mentioned that we do have data broken out by zip code. Zip code level data are available for 8 of the 18 sectors that we publish detailed data for. And as you can imagine, those are the 8 sectors that have the most businesses. So, for example, retail trade data are available by zip code because, again, with millions of businesses, we can slice and dice the data down to very, very small levels of geography and still be able to publish the information. So, yes, county and then some.
And thanks for that question, caller. What was your affiliation?
Newsday.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further questions from the audience at this time.
So one quick point I'll make just in terms of where you all can go to get all this data. The economic census data is released essentially solely on American FactFinder. That's not completely true. We actually do have some other visualization tools, including industry snapshots and some other kinds of products like that. But our primary dissemination vehicle is the American FactFinder application, which is our database tool that allows users to access information not only from the economic census, but from 4 or 5 other economic programs, as well as our decennial census, the American Community Survey, and a number of other demographic programs. One of the real powers of American FactFinder is the fact that it allows users to go in and download information from multiple programs and merge that information together. Very often the story that you can tell by looking at our data is best told when it's merged together. For example, a thing that I often talk to people about, when you look at retail sales by itself, and when you look at population for an area by itself, you see certain patterns in our geography. But when you create a ratio of retail sales per capita, and you then start to compare that ratio across areas, you see a very different story than when you look at just those two raw numbers by itself. American FactFinder's real power is the fact that you can download all that information and do those kinds of merges of our data that would allow you to kind of dive into our economy and be able to really get some insights into what's happening. How are industries changing over time? How is the U.S. population changing? Are our industries becoming more or less concentrated in metropolitan areas? I think, for example, one thing you would see is that in some sectors of the economy, yes, that is true. Retail is becoming ever increasingly metropolitan, but other sectors of our economy, for example, the manufacturing sector, are growing most in the non-metro counties, in areas outside of metropolitan areas. So that kind of information, that kind of analysis that you can do is really facilitated by a tool like American FactFinder that allows you to download that data. So,
thank you.
Excuse me, you do have another question if you'd like to take it.
Yes, please.
Okay. The next question comes from Dimitri Demir. Your line is open.
Hi, Dimitri.
How are you doing? I have a question. I was wondering if it's possible in relation to the geography areas here, if you're able to see in any of these more specific localities, if you're able to see any information related to revenue, mostly like employment, establishments, and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's a great question, Dimitri, and thank you for raising that. The Census Bureau has a few other programs, like County Business Patterns, that do publish county-level data on number of businesses, employment, and payroll. But the Economic Census is actually one of the few programs at the Census Bureau that actually publishes information on the output, if you will, of businesses. We classify that output into a variety of different categories, whether it's retail sales or revenue or receipts, or in the case of manufacturing, value of shipments. But it basically, all of those measures are measures of the output of a business. And the Economic Census, like I said, is one of those few programs that comprehensively publishes detailed data on the revenue or the receipts of data. Some of our sectors even publish information on what we call value added, which is essentially the difference between the value of the product that when it leaves the plant door and the cost of actually producing that product. So it's sort of a proxy for profit, although it wouldn't include a lot of the typical measures that you would think of that might be in terms of profits. We also publish detailed data on expenses. So if you're trying to understand how are the expenses of a business changing in relation to their revenue, that type of data is available, as are data on inventories and capital expenditures and assets and a variety of other statistics. We actually have about 240 unique data items that are published as part of the Economic Census. So there's really quite a bit more than just the core set of three or four data values. So, yeah, I'm thank you for pointing that out. I had forgotten about mentioning that.
And thank you, Dimitri. I didn't get your affiliation.
IDISWorld.
Say that again.
The company is called IDISWorld. We're a market research firm.
Great. Thanks for that. Operator, are there any other callers?
There are. The next question is going to come from Beverly Furtado. Your line is open.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi, this is Beverly Picotti with the Texas State Data Center. And I thought I understood you to say earlier that there's going to be a list of the new places that are going to be included in this economic census online.
Absolutely.
And I'm not seeing that.
Okay, so best way to go to get to that list of new places that are being recognized, if you go to our business.census.gov website,
okay,
right across the top of the page, you'll see a series of tabs.
Okay.
The third or fourth or so from the left, I apologize, I'm not sitting in front of a computer, is a tab that says Help Center. So if you click on Help Center, you'll then come to a screen that has links to information about NAICS and about a variety of other things. In the bottom left-hand side, you'll see a link that says geographic information. And if you click on that button, you will then be able to go in and choose your state. So choose Texas, and you'll then come to a page specifically for Texas that has links to the state map, the county map, and the metro maps that we've created. These are all reference maps. Below the maps, you will also then see a set of links to our GeoNotes files that talk about all of these boundary changes, which really, when you think about telling a story about economic growth, one of the things you always have to make sure of is that the geography boundary has not changed over time. Because the story you're about ready to tell about how an industry or a community has doubled in size in 5 years might be as much a figment of the boundary change as real economic growth. So those change note files are there. There are reference lists of all of the new places that we're counting for the economic census this time. Those lists are by county, so you could see, for example, in Bexar County how many new places are being recognized for the econ census. And there's also a list of information about the metropolitan area changes. Using those metro area change notes as well as the maps can really kind of help you understand how the boundary of the metropolitan area changed between 2007 and 2012, and therefore what you have to do to make sure the data is comparable. So, yeah, we created a page for every state, figuring you all would love to be able to get to the things specifically for your area.
Thank you so much. That's going to be very useful. Thanks.
Great. You're very welcome. Thank you.
The next question is going to come from Carrie Mason Draffin. Your line is open.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm a business reporter, and I don't use census data a lot, but you know, I do find it useful when I do. So I'm just wondering, is there some kind of tutorial online at the census site that I could go to you know, learn a little bit more about how to, you know, get to economic data?
So, sure. I keep referring you all back to this business.census.gov website. I'd love to believe it's sort of our one-stop shopping for everything there is to do about to know about the economic census.
Okay.
One thing that's out there, there's lots of information about the content, what we publish. There are use cases, the kind of real-life case examples of how businesses use Census Bureau economic data, ranging from the entrepreneur who's interested in opening their first business and needs information to determine whether or not this business and this location is appropriate and kind of a really good idea, all the way up to the big multinational corporations and local State Department of Economic Development and how they use our data to be able to attract large corporations to come and build manufacturing plants, for example, in their state. So what I would really encourage you to do is sort of browse around a little bit on our business.census.gov website. That'll give you some good information about the econ census. And then if you want some more information, then go ahead and give our public information office a call. And if you have specific questions, I'm sure they'll probably forward it to me. So.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thanks for that follow-up, Karen.
Sure. Okay.
And there are no more further questions from your audio participants at this time.
One other thing I wanted to point out to anybody that is interested in looking at training and how to access and use and understand our statistics at the Census Bureau, we do have training modules on census.gov. And I know there are some specifically that are on the topic of accessing our economic data. So that is another resource that you can take a look at. So these are basically web conferences or webinars that were conducted in the past that you can still view. And if you have problems accessing them, please give us a call. Reporter, just before we close, one more check to see if there's any callers that have now got themselves into the queue and have questions.
At this time, there are no more questions in the queue.
Great. Thank you. Well, that wraps up today's conference call. Finally, I'd just like to direct your attention to several key economic products coming up in the coming weeks and months. Yesterday, as you might know, we released data from the Economic Census Industry Series on the motion picture and video industry. These statistics are national level only, and you'll find them useful as you write stories relating to next week's Academy Awards ceremony. We've already released data for most industries across all economic sectors, and we'll wrap up release of this series in the next few weeks. The first of a three-part release of data for Puerto Rico from the Economic Census of Island Areas will be released on February 27th, covering the island's manufacturing sector. In addition to manufacturing, the annual survey of manufacturers will be coming out at the end of this month, and then in June, we'll begin releasing on a flow basis data from the Survey of Business Owners, like Andy mentioned earlier, which provides statistics every 5 years on the characteristics of business owners. The first release will be on women-owned businesses, followed by Hispanic-owned businesses in July, and then data on businesses owned by Blacks, American Indians and Alaska Natives, Asians, Native Hawaiians, and other Pacific Islanders. Also, military veterans will be covered as well. And that will run through the end of the year. With that, I'd like to thank Andy for his participation in today's news conference as well. I'd like to thank you for participating and calling in. And if any additional questions are needed to be addressed or you wish to arrange interviews, please contact the Public Information Office at 301-763-3030. Again, thank everybody for their participation. This concludes our call.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. Your call has ended, and you may now disconnect. Once again, your conference has ended, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.